just to make standing for prayer at this time. Kind Heavenly Father, again we come unto you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, knowing that thou art God, there is none beside thee. Therefore, we direct ourselves to thee. We know in whom we have believed. We know whom we're speaking to. That thou art the Lord, God of the Bible, that manifested himself in these last days, that showed who he was. Therefore, Lord, as we come to you, we know exactly whom we approach. And your word told us, if we asked in faith, that you'd give us the desire of our hearts. And Lord, tonight we're believing that you'd guide us in your word, that we might be in truth tonight, O God, and not in any heresy, anything which is outside your scripture. But we want that our minds, Lord, understand what you have placed there in your word for this end hour. Now grant, Lord, that our hearts might lift up in you, in great faith, Lord, be amongst us this evening hour. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Sunday morning, I was reading some scripture in the book of Matthew 24. And I was to read to verse 29, and I forgot to. We discussed the fact that those verses showed that Christ would have to be present, which he is. But in verse 27 onward it says, for lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even to the west. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be, for whatsoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. This verse of scripture, of course, is highly misunderstood because it seems to teach that the coming of the Lord is instantaneous as a flash of lightning. This is absolutely erroneous. The actual fact is that Brother Branham never gave us one thought of the Greek, never gave us any insight, but he said the same light that shone in the east had to absolutely appear in the west. And that word coming is parousia, which shows the presence. Where the carcass is, there the eagles. So, as I mentioned you, he's the only man living that ever lived outside the Apostle Paul of any books I've found, extant, or any theologian who could actually put the Greek words together, and he didn't even try. So I thought you'd be interested in knowing that, because that light that appeared under Paul came back at the end, proving he's Alpha and Omega, proving the scripture entirely correct, proving that there was one at the end time who was able by the grace of God to restore the word. Of course, this does not ring a bell with many, but that is all right. We believe because of what we saw, and what we saw was the scripture manifested. Now, tonight I want to bring a message on our historical place in the ages, and we're going to read from Daniel 9. The subject then is our historical place in the ages, based upon what Brother Branham taught. Daniel, the 9th chapter, verses 23 to 27 will be our reading, with many, many scriptures thereafter. At the beginning of thy supplications, the commandment came forth, and I am come to show thee, for thou art greatly beloved. Therefore understand the matter and consider the vision. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city, to finish the transgression and to make an end of sins, to make reconciliation for iniquity, and to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up the vision of prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. Know therefore, and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah, the Prince, shall be 7 weeks, and 62 weeks, and the street shall be built again in the wall, even in troublous times. And after 62 weeks, shall Messiah be cut off, and not for himself. And the people of the Prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with the flood. And unto the end, wars and desolations are determined. Now, there are four things that we'll have to notice immediately before we launch into our study here. And that is the first thing we have brought to our attention is that what I have read here is actually a thumbnail sketch of all time and history left for the world systems from the day of Daniel's visitation of the angels and revelation until the system's destruction. So that's the first thing to understand. We have a thumbnail sketch of all time and history left for the cosmos world systems, from that time that Daniel received his revelation to the time those systems went to oblivion. But secondly, we must also be sure to see that though the systems run out at Armageddon, we find in Daniel 9, 23 to 27 actually reveals the history of the church right up to the New Jerusalem And we find that in Daniel 7:13 to 14. Because this also is a part of the visions. It said, I saw in the night visions, and one like the Son of Man come in the clouds of heaven, and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. They have given him dominion and glory and the kingdom and all people, nations, languages, you should serve him. His dominion is everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom which shall not be destroyed. Well, the everlasting kingdom, of course, is a new Jerusalem, because the one on earth, even during the millennium, is set to one side. Well, there's a dissolution of the elements, and the new elements are brought in. So we can see here, when we're speaking of the just thumbnail sketch of history left on earth, the bride doesn't stop there. She goes right on into eternity. At least notice that. And the third thing we notice also is that though the earthly history of man as we know it today ends at Armageddon, it will reappear at the end of the millennium, and then it goes on to the lake of fire after the white throne judgment. And you could read that yourself in Revelation chapter 20, but we might just look a little bit at verse 11. And I saw a great white throne, him that sat in it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there's no place found for them. And I saw the dead small and great stand before God, and the books were opened. Another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell gave up the dead which were in them. They were judged every man according to their works, and death and hell is cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death. Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire. Now, you can see then that though Daniel 9 is referring to the world system's extermination, time has run out, there is definitely a reappearance due to the second resurrection or general resurrection, where they all come before God again, and then there's a judgment where they're judged as separated as a sheep from goats, and some are allowed to come in, and then the rest are set to one side for the lake of fire. So this system, the world systems and what we know today, must reappear at the white throne judgment and be judged. And the fourth thing we want to realize and understand is that the 70 weeks of earthly history is dealing only with Israel, as it says over here in Daniel, the 9th chapter, and in verse 24, which we just caught a little time ago. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city, and so on. Now, you'll notice that the 70 weeks are cut into three periods of time that do not necessarily run consecutively all the way through to the end. That would be then, if they were consecutive, the millennium would have had to come into being in 490 years. But it didn't. So they do not run consecutively. Now, the three periods, of course, are 7 weeks, 62 weeks, and 1 week. And each week is, of course, 1 year. And Ezra and Nehemiah were responsible for rebuilding the wall in troublous times, about 49 years. And then there were to be 434 years of national history had to elapse as another period of time looking forward to the Messiah. Now, there is no way that I could possibly understand the chronology of that. I don't know how it works, but there's a time lapse in between there also, so that the 7 weeks and the 62 are not necessarily purely consecutive or in chronological order as we might think they were going to be. Now then, after that, those two have expired. The Messiah was to appear in the 70th week and therein be cut off. And this would leave a part of the 70th week unfulfilled for another indefinite period of time. Now, I think we can see this in Daniel 12. We go there to Daniel 12, 1 to 7. And here's where the thinking of many people is entirely different from Brother Branham's and what we think. And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince, which standeth for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even at the same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. Now that's not everyone, but everyone written in the book. That goes right back to 7th chapter of Revelation. And many of them that sleep in the dust there shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. That's right, because after the great tribulation, see, after the millennium, they come up in a resurrection. Thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book even at the end of time, and prior to the time of the end, I'm sorry. Many shall run to and fro, knowledge shall be increased. Then I, Daniel, looked, and behold, there stood other two, one on this side of the river, bank of the river, and the other on that side of the bank of the river. And one said to the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, how long shall it be to the end of these wonders? And I heard the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, he held up his right hand and his left hand unto heaven, and swear of him to live forever and ever. that there shall be for a time, times and a half. And when he shall have accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people, all these things shall be finished. Now you can see right here, there's 3 1/2 years left to the scattered people. Not 7. Now, as I say, that's a little bit of a problem there to some, but we understand there's only 3 1/2 years to go. And I think that's not too hard to see if we go to Daniel 9:26. And it says, and after 62 weeks, shall Messiah be cut off. Now watch. How many periods? There are 6. There's a 6-week period. I'm sorry, a 7-week period. And a 62-week period. And a 1-week period. Now if you add 7 to 62, you get 69. After 62 weeks, the 7's been fulfilled. So after 69 weeks, Messiah is going to be cut off. Well, if after 69, what follows 69? 70. So therefore, during 70, Messiah would be cut off. See? So there's 3 1/2 years to go because he's cut off within the middle. Now, furthermore, after Daniel 9:26, there is no more mention again of 7 years, only 3 1/2. And there is no mention of 7 in the book of Revelation, only 3 1/2 years. So no matter how you look at it, there's 3 1/2 years to go. Now, as I said, many people today, even in this message, do not believe that there are 3 1/2 years left, but they believe there's 7. But as I read here in Daniel 9:25-26, which I could read again, know therefore and understand from the going forth the command to restore and build Jerusalem unto Messiah, shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks, right? 7 weeks, 62. And the street built again troublous times after the 60. Remember, 7 came before 62. So now you got 69, right? So therefore, Messiah is cut off when? 70 comes next. He's cut off in the 70. There's no place else to go, in my understanding, because remember, he was numbered with Israel. And there's only 3 1/2 left in Revelation, 3 1/2 in Daniel, except where Daniel allows 30 to 75 days, which could be the resurrection period. Quite easy. I don't know if there's or not, but it could be. So you have the 3 1/2 years. Now, with that understanding, we want to get a picture of God dealing with the entire world history, with Israel, as his timepiece, because that's what it's all about. Israel as the timepiece. Now, we go to Luke 24, I believe it is, or is it 21. And we'll read verse 24. And they shall fall by the edge of the sword, and they shall be led away captive into all nations, and Jerusalem shall be trodden down the Gentiles, until the times the Gentiles be fulfilled. Now, right here you can see that after Messiah is cut off, which he was, Israel must be trodden down, which it was, under the Romans in 70 A.D., Jerusalem trodden down. And it says that this must be so until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. So therefore, between the first half of the last week and the last half of the last week, the times of the Gentiles must run their full course. Not that they weren't running before, because Gentiles are in history. But remember, Israel is entirely left out, period. And God will return to Israel later on. Now, let's go to the book of Daniel again, chapter 7, and we're going to look at some of the 490 years, and then that which is carried on into the future. Chapter 7, Daniel, and we'll begin at verse 1, and this is the great vision. The first year of Belshazzar, the king of Babylon, Daniel had a vision. Had a dream and visions of his head upon his bed. Then he wrote the dream and told us some of the matters. And Daniel spoke and said, I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of the heavens drove upon the great seas. Now the great seas, of course, we understand peoples. And there's mighty influences coming, controlling the great peoples of the earth. And four great beasts came up from the sea, diverse one from another. In other words, we'll just keep reading, because the beasts represent powers. The first was like a lion, had eagle's wings, and I beheld till the wings were ever plucked, who was lifted up from the earth and made to stand upon the feet as a man, and man's heart was given to it. That's beast number one. And then the second beast, it came up out of the sea, which shows great influence and power, like a bear, raised itself up on one side, had three in his mouth, between his teeth, and they said, rise, devour much flesh. That's the second beast. The third beast comes up, At this I beheld no another like a leopard, which had upon the back the four wings of a fowl, and the beast also had four heads, dominions given to it. Now, number one beast was a lion with eagle's wings. Number two was a bear. Number three was a leopard. It had four wings also. Then we come down to number four, which is verse 7. And each of these is world empires, dominions given to the people over the world, the then known world. After this, I saw in the night vision, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful, terrible, strong, exceedingly, and it had great iron teeth that devoured and brake in pieces, stamped the residue at the feet of it, was diverse from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. And I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another little horn, before whom there were three of the first horns plucked up by the roots. And behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of man, the mouth speaking great things. And I beheld till the thrones were cast down. Now, that's what we're looking at there. Then after the thrones were cast down, the ancient days, his garment white as snow, hair of his head like pure wool. His throne was like the fiery flame, his wheels as burning fire, and a fiery commission came forth from before him. Thousands ministered unto him. That's bride. And 10,000 times 10,000 to be before him. That's to be judged. Judgment set the books open. And I beheld, because the voice of the great words with the horn spake, I beheld even till the beast was slain, his body destroyed and given the burning flame. Now you notice this is like a recap going back a bit. He's telling you that he's bringing you right up to the millennium, Armageddon, the millennium, great white throne judgment. And then he says here, notice he is talking about the fourth empire, the fourth beast. Then he recaps to the others. As concerning the rest of the beast, the other three, I saw, he said, and I'll just tell you, Frank, although not much point, their dominion was taken away. Their kingdoms went down. Number one king went down. Number two king went down. Number three went down. But number four did not go down. God allowed those other one, two, three to prolong until he was finished. He's noticed, he said, their lives were prolonged for a season at a time. It doesn't tell you when they started and when they stopped. It tells you when they started and when they stopped. They just went on to number four. And number four goes plain plump on to the white throne, just like I said. See? Goes right on. It's blotted out, but reappears at the end. See? After the millennium. Comes right up in the second resurrection. Stands right there. Says so. To be held till that time. See a continuation. And I saw in the night vision, behold, one like the Son of Man come with clouds of heaven, and come to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. And there's given him, this one you see that came on clouds, it's the same one back here. The same mighty one is entering now, as I understand this, into the eternal of eternals. This is where he gets dominion and kingdom, all peoples, nations, languages, and something that's the millennium. I don't believe that's the millennium. And that's right down at the end where there's no passing away, because the millennium does pass down. In a sense, it doesn't. It's merely step. But I look at this, and I can see here, way into the future, where God has done all things new. I'm looking at that in this way. Now, as I mentioned a while ago, you notice that the first great power, and the beast is a power, a first great kingdom, and Daniel recognizes it as Babylon, with Nebuchadnezzar as the head. He was a mighty man. He rebelled against God. He turned like into a beast. Pardon me. His hair and his little on his flesh and all grew like feathers. He was an insane person, ate grass like animals. And then God stood upon his feet, gave him the heart of a man again, and he recognized the God of heaven. See? At number one. Then there comes another great power, and another great power, and so on down the line. Now notice, this vision of Daniel is identical to Nebuchadnezzar's vision, which is in chapter 2. You're warned very strenuously by all teachers of homiletics that you never digress when you're preaching. I never obey any law of homiletics. If I can drop a little something in you to pin your ears back or make your eyes light up, I'd do it. Huh? There's a certain man from Europe that claims Brother Branham vindicated him by him having a vision first of stored up food. He appears to be a little bit greater than Brother Branham this time. I want to ask you a question. Who had the vision first, Nebuchadnezzar or Daniel? Nebuchadnezzar. Daniel told him what the vision was. Then who is the great man? Huh? Well, a word to the wise is sufficient. So, back to our study. There's always a scriptural answer, honey.
if you look for it.
If you don't look,
shame on you. Shame on you, right? All right, settle right down now. You had your little time. Vision number two is identical to vision, chapter two is identical to vision number, to the seventh chapter. So let's take a look at it. We go to the 37th verse. I think we'll start there. Yeah. Here's after he had this great dream, this great vision in the night. And Daniel, of course, told him the interpretation. He said, "Thou, O King, art the King of kings, for the God of heaven hath given thee a kingdom, power, and strength, and glory, and wheresoever the children of men dwell, the beasts of the field, and the fowls of heaven hath given to thy hands. And he made thee ruler over them all. Thou art this head of gold." That's right. Who is he? Nebuchadnezzar. Where is he? King of Babylon. Good. "After thee shall arise another kingdom inferior to thee, and a third kingdom of brass shall rule over the earth. And the fourth kingdom shall be strong as iron, for as much as iron breaks in pieces and subdues all things, as iron that breaketh all these, shall it break in pieces and bruise. Whereas thou sawest the feet and toes, part of potter's clay, part of iron, the kingdom shall be divided, but there shall be in it a strength of iron, for as much as thou sawest iron, and mixed with miry clay. And as the toes of the feet were part of iron, part of clay, so the king shall be partly strong and partly broken. Whereas thou sawest iron mixed with miry clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men, but they shall not cleave one to another, even as iron is not mixed with clay. And in the, now listen, and in the days of these kings shall the God in heaven set up a kingdom which never be destroyed." Now see, there it is right there. That kingdom is coming. You can't kill it now. It'll go right through to the millennium and on where it comes to eternality. Right to the end. And that's what all can pour into the great holy city and so on. Now, he says, "The kingdom shall not let the other people." No, sir, the bride's going to have it. "It shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms. It shall stand forever. For as much as thou sawest a stone was cut out of a mountain without hands, that it break in pieces, the iron, the brass, the clay, the silver, and the gold, the great God hath made known to the king, what shall come to pass after, and the dream is certain, and the interpretation is sure." Now right there we see that the very same thing that Nebuchadnezzar saw in a dream, God revealed again to Daniel in a vision to him, which was a more thorough explanation, perhaps, than the original number one explanation. Now, in verses 37 to 39, we saw, "Thou art this head of gold." See, what was it? The Babylonian Empire under Nebuchadnezzar. All right, let's go to verse a little further now. We see here in verse 39, "And after thee shall arise another kingdom in fear of thee, and another third kingdom of brass." Now look at here. There's silver, and then there's this brass here. Now, there's two kingdoms mentioned there, right? And who are they? What does history show? Medo-Persia and Greece. Exactly. No other kingdom. Because number one is pointed out, right? Who is he? Nebuchadnezzar. Babylon. What followed Babylon? Medo-Persia. What followed Medo-Persia? Greece, right? Okay, let's keep reading. "And the fourth kingdom shall be strong as iron." Now, what followed Greece? Rome. Right? Rome. Now, there's no need to fool. If you don't believe the Bible, it's okay by me. You won't believe this. But if you read the Bible, if you believe the Bible, you might have to lay down some of your thinking. But that's all right. No problem. Now, let's read a bit. "And the fourth kingdom shall be strong as iron, for as much as iron breaks in pieces, subdues all things, and as iron that breaks all these, shall it break in pieces and bruise. Whereas thou sawest the feet and toes, part of potter's clay, that's going way, way down, and part of iron, the king shall be glad." Now, what is the bottom part of the statue? Toes, right? So he's showing the last part of the kingdom. Now remember, you've got up here head, and you've got silver and brass, and from the thighs down, you've got iron. And it goes down, 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 until it peters out into clay mixed with iron at the tail end. And the kingdom then goes kaput because the stone cut without hands comes down, strikes the whole thing upon the feet, and it's all gone. That's Armageddon into the millennium, great white throne judgment. Again, there's destruction, and then the pure all taken into the eternal cities. See? Now, this is what you're seeing right here. There's no guesswork. You don't have to let your thinking go and try to figure things out. It's already been figured for you. Right? Babylon and Persia and Greece and Rome, no guesswork. And then you'll notice in here as we read along, and right to verse 44, "And in the days of these kings," well, that's got to be the last king. See, got to be the tail end. "There's going to be a kingdom that'll not be destroyed. For as much as thou saw the stone cut without hands, come down with, and break in pieces the whole thing. God has shown you now what's going to happen. He says the whole thing is going to run out. Now remember, these are Gentile kingdoms. They are not Israel. But Israel has a lot to do with it because they have a lot to do with Israel. We're bound up together. Just like Paul said, we're grafted into a single root or trunk. Just can't help yourself. We're all part of the whole thing. See, now, let's just go over something. The first kingdom is Babylon the lion, right? The next is Medo-Persia the bear. And the third is Greece the leopard. And fourth, Rome. What? Her beast is not designated. It just says, as all of these different differ from each other, the fourth differs greatly from all the other three that differed from each other. And it says, this is the worst of the whole works. Now, what beast is it? The beast is not mentioned here. But what is it? Let's go to Daniel 7. And we're going to go to the 7th verses to the 9a. Now, here is his beast. After this in the night visions, behold, a fourth beast, dreadful, terrible, strong exceedingly, had great iron teeth, devoured and break in pieces, stamped the residue of his feet, diverse in all beasts were before it, and then had 10 horns. And I consider the horns. And behold, there came up among them another little horn, before whom there were three of the first horns plucked up by the roots. And behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of man, and the mouth speaking great things. In other words, in this kingdom here, he's giving you a thumbnail sketch of great people arising within it who perpetuate this kingdom and are great and worthy note in the kingdom. And this one down here sounds like a very horrendous person. Now, and I beheld till the thrones were cast down. Now, the whole thing then, the whole government of earth, which expires under government number 4, is finished. Then the ancient days, God can begin to take over. Now let's read verse 11 and 12. I beheld then, because the voice of the great words which the horn spake, and I beheld even till the beast was slain, and his body destroyed, and given to the burning flame. Now you know right away that's in the book of Revelation, where the beast and the false prophet are thrown into the lake of fire. As concerning the rest of the beast, they have been made and taken away, and their lives prolonged for season. Now the reason I said he threw this in here at the end is to just let you know that those other three great kingdoms with their great rulers, they just had their time too. But you'll notice in this fourth one, there's a succession of headships. See? And it's different from any other. It's diverse. And it's worse than any of the rest. Now, let's go and compare Revelation 13, 1 to 10. We've got to do that to see what this is all about. And I stood upon the sand of the sea. There we are again. Water. And I saw a beast rise up out of the sea. There you are again. Another beast. Having 7 heads and 10 horns. And upon his horns 10 crowns, upon his heads the names of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like what? A leopard. Ho ho. And feet, the feet of a bear. And the mouth of lion. The dragon gave me his power and his seat and great authority. And I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death. And his deadly wound was healed. And all the world wanted to have the beast. Now you know right now that this beast is a different beast from all the others because this is a composite of all the beasts that Daniel saw and Nebuchadnezzar saw. See? Tells you right here. He is different because he's a combination or a composite of all the rest. And you'll notice that this fellow lives all the way down. That is, this government goes all the way down because when he should have died, as the rest died, he gets healed. You follow? That which would have killed him. See, notice how it's brought in here. We're back in Daniel. He said, now this one here goes all the way. The others had their time, but this one doesn't have a time. He goes all the way. Now here's the secret. He should have had his time, but he doesn't have his time because something happens to him. When he should have expired. When he should have gone. When it should have been Rome no more. Or the fourth empire no more. He's healed. Now he's not talking of a man per se. He's talking of the beast which is the government, the great power. And the last one is the great beast empire. And it tells you what he is. And what Daniel left out describing him, we're told here by John. He's the lion, the leopard, and the bear. See? Just exactly. Now, and they worship the dragon, which gave power to the beast. They worship the beast, saying, who's like to the beast? Who can make war with him? It was given in mouth speaking great things and blasphemies and power given in him to continue 42 months. And you trace that right down to Daniel 12, you've got the same thing right there again. The same thing is going to hound the holy people. He opened his mouth to blaspheme against God, to blaspheme his name, his tabernacle, and them that dwell in heaven. It was given unto him to make war with the saints, to overcome them, and power is given unto him over kindreds and tongues and nations. Notice there again. The great empire. And all that dwell upon earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain in the foundation of the world. If any man have an ear, let him hear. He that leads into captivity shall go to captivity. He that kills the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and faith of the saints. And I beheld another beast coming out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and spake like a dragon. And he exercised all the power of the first beast before him. Now watch. This fellow here is coming out after he saw this, after he saw verse number 1, he sees verse number 11. And verse number 11 is like this old boy back there. See? The fellow that got his deadly wound healed. He tells you what's in there, and he tells you the same thing is right down here. No difference. See? He exercised all the power of the first beast before him that caused the earth and him that dwelt there in the worship of the first beast, the deadly wound was healed. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, deceives them that dwell on earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying them to dwell on the earth, that they should make an image of the beast which had the wound by the sword and to live. And he had power to give life to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak, and cause that as many as would not worship the image, the beast that he should be killed. Now he's giving you the secret here of how this old empire that died and should have been gone actually lives on today. This is what he's telling you right here. See? Now, here, according to what we read in this book of Revelation, here, chapter 13, and the first 10 verses were really sufficient. Here we see all earthly, Gentile, pagan, religious government poured into one power, which is Rome. Because Rome was the power. Not Italy, per se. Rome. See? Although Italy was under Rome. You don't need to worry about Italy, per se. It was Rome. It is just exactly like the seals. For the seals are masks or disguises. There was a white horse, a red horse, and a black horse turned into a brindle horse. It was the same thing coming on down. So you see Babylon, religious, the Nimrod, religious empire coming on down into Babylon, into Medo-Persia, into Greece, and finally into Rome, and now at the very end time. And at the very end time, you have this system poured into one, which is Rome. Now notice her further description and the revelation of whom she really is. Now that's over here in chapter 17 of the book of Revelation and in verse 9. And it says, and here is the mind that hath wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sits. Now you can't say that is communism. You can't do it. Some people say, well, that's over there in Russia. Well, I got news. When did Russia rule the world? When is Russia the fourth empire? Never was. Well, they say that's Cincinnati. Well, when Cincinnati is nothing. That's 100 and some years old. That never was. Say, well, it's Jerusalem. That's got seven hills, has it? How do you know? Just because somebody said so? Pretty well, that's about all. Because somebody said so. I never heard the geography of Jerusalem had seven hills. When did Jerusalem ever run the world? When was she ever a great empire? She was merely a local empire. But she was never a great worldwide empire. Never was. See, now we're talking about great empires. Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece, and then comes Rome, right down to the end. Now, seven mountains. Who's got seven mountains that was a world empire? Rome. It's known as a city of seven hills. Everything shows us that. Now, he said, here's wisdom. And he said, this great world empire is going to be consolidated into one spot, a city. So therefore, a city with tentacles, as an octopus, running, ruling, and controlling. See? In other words, this will be able to govern the hearts and minds of men as not even the power of politics, although it combines them. Let's go back to Daniel chapter 7. This time I'll read 15 to 27. And I, Daniel, was grieved in my spirit, missed my body, and visions of my head troubled me. And I came near unto one of them that stood by and asked him the truth of all this. So he told me and made me know the interpretation of these things. These great beasts which are four kings which shall arise out of the earth. See, the empires are always embodied in one person. It's always headed up in one, but then it begins to peter out, and then it goes down. Peter out, see? Notice after Nebuchadnezzar came another king. See? Then it pretty soon it goes down. But the saints, listen, but the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever and ever, even forever and ever. Then I would know the truth of the fourth beast, which was diverse from all others, exceeding dreadful, whose teeth were of iron, nails of brass, devoured, break in pieces, stamped the residue of the sea. Now the ten horns were in his head, and of the other which came up, and before whom three fell, even of that horn that had the eyes and a mouth that spake great things, whose look was more stout than his fellows. And I beheld, and the same horn made war with the saints, and prevailed against them, until the Ancient of Days came, and judgment was given to him, to the saints of the Most High, and the time came the saints possessed the kingdom. Thus he said, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon earth, which shall be diverse from all kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth, and shall tread it down and break it in pieces. Now it tells you right there that the fourth kingdom will go right to the very end and have an absolute control. And that fourth kingdom will boil down to one city that has mountains on it, and is going to control the world from there. And it's positively going to be against the truth of Almighty God, against Jesus Christ. In other words, there's going to be an Antichrist set up. And the ten horns out of this kingdom are ten kings that should arise. Another shall arise after them. And, if you want to get on verse 27. And he shall be diverse in the first, shall subdue the first three kings. He'll speak great words against the Most High, shall the saints of the Most High, and think to change times of law, and they should be given to his hands of a time, and dividing a time. Now you got your 3.5 years in there. At the end time. Takes you right to the end time, when God turns back to the Jews in 3.5 years. And the judgment shall sit, and they shall take away his dominion to consume and destroy to the end. There you are, back to the book of Revelation, where they throw him in the lake of fire. And the kingdom, and dominion and greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, his kingdom's everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him. And that takes you right to the very end, past the white throne judgment, up to the even the eternities of God. Now, we can see her description right here. This is Rome. Also notice that God says the roots of Rome, and the head of Rome was in Babylon, not in Jerusalem. Let's go back to the book of Revelation, chapter 18, 1-2. After these things, I saw the angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was laid in glory. And he cried mighty the voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, become the habitation of devils, to hold every foul spirit, and the cage of every hateful bird. See, that's what I said a while ago. Just like the seal, starts with a white horse, a red horse, a black horse poured into one. You got Babylon, you got Medo-Persia, you got Greece, you got Rome poured into one Rome. The whole thing gets poured into one at the very end time. And that which was in Babylon is going to come to the very end here, and we'll see it in our day. And it comes right to Rome, and Rome always has done the very same thing that Babylon did. It traces right on down, ending not only now in one nation of Babylon that controlled perfectly what it had under its clutches. It had physical, political, spiritual domain. You watch now. And the same thing reappears at the end time. That's why it's called Babylon at the end time. Or mystery Babylon. Or a spiritual Babylon. See? Not Israel. Not by any stretch of imagination. Now, we're going to keep reading on now. Verses 3 to 19. Now, let's watch this great thing, Babylon. Well, it says here, it's the habitation of devils, the hold of every foul spirit, the cage of every unclean and hateful bird. And all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of fornication. The king's earth committed fornication with her. Merchant's earth have waxed rich to the abundance of her delicacies. I heard another voice in heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that you be not partakers of sins, that you receive not a reply. Now this has gone from simply a nation to a church. And Rome is a church today. And you show me where she hasn't got her power somewhere. Her sins have reached unto heaven, and God remembered her iniquities. Reward her even as she rewarded you, and double unto her double according to her works, in the cup which she had filled to her double. How much she had glorified herself and lived deliciously, so much torment and sorrow give her. For she said in her heart, I sit as a queen. In other words, I'm the husband of the king. I'm the bride of Christ. I'm the widow, and shall see no sorrow. Therefore shall the place come in one day, death, mourning, famine, and shall be utterly burned with fire. And what do you burn with fire? Whores. Strong is the Lord that judges her. The king of the earth committed fornication with her and lived deliciously with her, delicately and so on, luxuriously, shall be wailer and lamenter when they see the smoke of her burning, standing afar off, saying, alas, alas, that great city of Babylon, that mighty city, for in 1 hour that judgment is come. Okay. The merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her. Tomorrow we'll explain this more thoroughly.
For no man buys their merchandise anymore. The merchandise of gold, silver, precious stones, the pearls fine linen, purple, silk, scarlet, and all manner of ivory, wood, precious wood, brass, iron, marble, cinnamon, odors, ointment, frankincense, wine, oil, fine flour, wheat, beef, sheep, horses, chariots, slaves, souls of men. There you are. Fruit, the fruit of thy soul, that thy soul lusts after, departed from thee. All things which were gaining and goodly departed from thee. Now, in verse 15, the merchants of these things which were made rich by her shall stand up after the fear of torment, weeping and wailing, saying, alas, alas, thy great city, and so on. Getting to what we're showing you here is that this world empire is not based upon armies and militancy. It's based upon the ability to deal in the lives of people and control them regardless of the government over them and to manipulate them because of the power of their dominion of wealth. That this church at the end is going to absolutely control the world by the manipulation of gold and silver and those things, because it says right here. In other words, the lying sign and wonder of the Antichrist, first off the bat, to straighten out the money system. See? Now, this great money system is what's going to control the world. Now listen, the Babylon head of gold, golden calf, cosmos empire, mixed with religion, is still here. See? It started its present form under Constantine. Revelation 13 and 3. And I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death. One of his heads, what does that mean? One of the men of great authority in the Roman Empire is able to revive the Roman Empire. He is saved when he was going down. Now, when did that happen? When Constantine turned to the Christians. And then he decided to help the Christians and show them how to run their business. So he said, everybody get together and I'll take care of you. We'll dip in the taxpayers' pocket and finance you. And we'll set up a kingdom in this respect. So the Roman Empire got its second wind and its reprieve from entire destruction by going into religion instead of armies to control the whole world. And if you study history, you're going to find they have done it and done it by every way they can, even armies destroying nations, although that was in a minor way, until at the end time, as a city of power, its tentacles through religion and manipulation of finances will control the whole world. Now, if you think they can't do it, you take a trip to Mexico and you go to the huge basilica there, and you will find, I understand, I believe, it's 27 to 22 gates, something like that, that just before the altar, that contain roughly 15 tons of gold apiece, and that's just the start of it. And when gold skyrockets, which it will shortly, to perhaps $1,000 an ounce, you'll see they're going to run the whole world, and no one will have a prayer. It's a financial system doing it. Remember, they have the gold. There's hardly a few years ago, I was reading, there's hardly a Roman Catholic church that doesn't have a cross worth $75,000. That was at $33 an ounce, about $125 right now. That's, say, roughly four times the price, $300,000 in one church alone. When I was in just across the line of Juarez, they had gold leaf on the basilica there, which was $1 million. And that was $33 an ounce. It's over $4 million now. And they just were playing along at that time. They had so much more. So here we can see what it is. It's not a militant empire with vast armies, not for one minute. It's something far superior. And what is superior? That which controls the hearts and minds of men. Because if you control those hearts and minds, you'll have a successful army. But if you cannot control it, you have no army. An army, though great, with no will to fight, can be routed in a minute. They'll run. That's why America made so many mistakes in trying to arm certain nations. There's no will to fight. Forget it. To lean be. Anybody come and take more is just fine. They don't care. As long as you got a bowl of rice or something. Oh, they do care, but they don't really. So this is a control that is vastly different from what went on previously, because this is different. The Bible says so. But it's just as horrible and even more so than was the others. Now, and the fourth beast runs this all. The last stage of the last empire is controlled by a religious dictator who takes over the whole world by his ability to force all nations. See? By his
power within the nation. Remember how they said that we have a fourth column? They had a fourth column because there were people dedicated to the cause of an exterior nation. Rome has a fourth column in every nation in this world of Quisling, if you want to put it that way. And if you don't think so, kindly read the history before you answer back in your minds. Kindly read your history. And ask yourself, why was Trotsky killed in Mexico and who did it? And you will find he was killed by a Roman Catholic granted absolute absolution by the Pope if he would kill the man. Immediate heaven for killing him. And they killed him. See? Now, that's word to the wise. Read your histories. Four nations only. And the last identified with a city of seven mountains. A woman, which is always a church, controlling. And nothing controls like religion. Nothing. Because you have the conscience of men and destiny of the future in your hand. And they're doing it. See? And there's different from all the rest. And in it, it says horrible and cruel and breaking in pieces. Now, you Canadians know enough what happened years ago before Rome smartened up to try to win the prostitutes back. The Baptist preaching in Quebec was stoned or killed. My landlord was shocked. He's married to a Catholic girl. And he was shocked when he saw a Roman Catholic priest egging the Vietnamese on to destroy the Mohammedans. Not saying you're all that way, but the roots are there. See, right back to Babylon, where it came from. We'll see a little more about it. Shortly we'll see it. Now listen, the last stage of the last empire is controlled by a religious dictator who takes over the whole world by his ability and to force all nations and commerce to join into a complete world alliance. 17 and 8. The beast that thou sawest, which was and is not, shall ascend out of the bottomless pit, go into perdition, and they shall dwell on earth, shall wonder, whose names are written in the last book of life. Should not read the last book of life. From the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was and is not and yet shall be. Now that's exactly what this empire is. Ever since it went religious. A pope. He was God to the people. Died off the scene. He was not. Another one comes on the scene. He is. And the same one shall be in the future. Always a succession of people who say we are it. Now you find any Protestant that ever claimed to the exclusion of all others that they were it. No, they were a choice one. But the Roman Catholic Church stands and says, we are it. And until recently, she would not accept any Protestants until she finally remembered that she was the one that innovated that doctrine, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost baptism. So now any Protestant that's baptized in Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, you are a Catholic. I'm sorry, you better look your records up. Trace your pedigree back. There's something wrong with you somewhere. Rome will tell you flat, that is her baptism. Look it up. If you haven't got enough understanding to read your Bible, then write Time Magazine. And you said, please send me a copy of what you once printed concerning the genealogy of all churches, for every organization has come out of Rome. Go and see it. I got it home. See for yourself. Ask them also to send you a copy of when Marcus the Woodcutter bapt a communicant in the church. It was in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Never, ever, Father, Son, Holy Ghost. It's a Roman dogma. So, daughters are going back to mama. If you don't think they are, let me just tell you something. I was in London not long ago, and over there is a great full gospel dynasty. And a Roman Catholic priest, charismatic, speaking in tongues, wonderful man, fine man, stood before the people. And he has a great ministry of praying for the sick. He looked down the gospel in them and he said, well, this is a search. My, he said, look, a Roman Catholic priest praying for Pentecostal for healing. It was once otherwise. And he said, why don't you come home to mother? Ring the wedding bells, are already home and don't know. Dance in the streets. Daniel chapter 2. Now, here's something Brother Branham brought to us. So we're going to take a real good look at it. Daniel 2, 46 to 49. And then the king Nebuchadnezzar fell upon his face and worshipped Daniel. Oh, my. When Daniel brought that dream back. Isn't this beautiful? Here's a fellow who had a dream. He said, oh, he said, I had a dream. Oh, I had a dream. Oh, that dream, it was some dream. But I don't know what it was. He said, I think I'll call the wise men. Yeah, they'll tell me if they're real wise men. He said, come in, boys. What is it, old king? Make an egg breakfast? No, he said, no breakfast this morning. He said, I'm puzzled. I got a dream. Well, tell it. He said, that's the whole thing. He said, I forgot. I want you to tell me. He said, what's going on here? That's early in the morning. Nobody ever heard this nonsense that we're supposed to tell you a dream you forgot. You tell us the dream, we'll tell you. He said, ha ha, gotcha. You tell the dream, and then I know you got the answer. Now, he said, you get down to business there, boys, or you're going to have your heads lopped off. Well, they said, they were in terrible shape. Somebody said, hey, there's a fellow called Daniel. I think he might have the answer. Daniel King said, oh, King, live forever, and I'm going to live with you. He said, I know, I got answers. God's going to tell me your dream. Now, listen, everybody talks about one man who recalled one dream for one man that forgot it, and it's here in the book, and everybody screams about it, but they forget William Marion Branham. Amen. Recalled many dreams for many people. Amen. And I saw myself in Waterloo, Iowa, when Paul Boyd came in. Said, Brother Branham, I've got a troubled dream. I want to tell you. He said, no, Paul, I'll tell you. And I'll tell you, and I heard him tell the dream. And Paul stood there in amazement. See, he told him the dream. So you see, if I should quote William Branham tonight, you can see why. And I'll quote you. If you can tell me what I dreamed this afternoon, I lay down in my bed and I slept. It's a very crazy dream. I'll even give you a hint about my raincoat. Want to take it from there? And a briefcase. Want to take it from there? Now, where was I? And I was in an elevator. What'd the elevator do? Huh? Oh, now, some of you might disagree. I'm putting you on the spot now. You got answers? You haven't got any answers? I'm not trying to hurt your feelings. Well, let me tell you something. I've been through these books for years and years. One man had an answer. His name is William Branham. People don't like him. They don't want his name mentioned. Why? Why? Well, I'll tell you why. When people can't produce fruit like one guy can produce fruit, then you got to throw eggs at them. So, that's not here, of course. Now, it says here, this fellow Nebuchadnezzar fell upon his face because Daniel, you know, gave him that answer. And he commanded they bring an oblation unto him of sweet odors and kept the whole bit. And the king said to Daniel, of a truth it is that your God is a God of gods, the Lord of kings, revealer of secrets, seeing thou couldst reveal his secret. Then the king made Daniel a great man and gave him many great gifts and made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon, the chief governors over the wise men of Babylon. Then Daniel requested the king, he set Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego over the affairs of the province of Babylon, and Daniel sat in the gate. Now, Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold, whose height was 60 cubits, and the breadth of 6 cubits, and he set it upon the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. Nebuchadnezzar the king sent to gather together the princes, the governors, and captains, and judges, and treasurers, and counselors, and sheriffs, and rulers, to come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar the king set up. Then the princes, the governors, the captains, judges, and sheriffs, and treasurers, and counselors, and the rulers of the province who gathered together the dedication of the image of Nebuchadnezzar the king set up, and they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar set up. And then a herald cried aloud to you, it is commanded, O people, nations, and languages, that at what time you hear the sound of the corn, of food, harp, sackbut, salty dulcimer, and all kind of music, you fall down and worship the golden image, said Nebuchadnezzar, the king is it up. And whosoever falleth not down and worship that shall the same hour be cast in the midst of the flaming, the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, at that time when all the people heard the sound of corn, of flute, harp, sackbut, salty, and all kinds of music, and all people, nations, and languages fell down and worship the golden image, said Nebuchadnezzar, the king is it up. Now what was that image? Daniel. You know why? Because in you, Daniel, he said, is the spirit of that great God. Now, he couldn't see God. Nobody could see God. But he saw Daniel. So naturally, he made an image to Daniel. And he set the great image right up there. And said, now listen, I'm going to tell you something. You've got to worship that image. Because, you see, Daniel can't be everywhere, so he doesn't have that image up there, great deal. And you'll have to worship God through that image, which you see right there. And, of course, they did it. Now, the reason he did it was because here was a great man of spiritual stature. A man that could literally be worshipped as God. You could literally make him God. See, that's what Nebuchadnezzar is doing. Now, with that in mind, let's go back to Revelation, the 13th chapter. Verse 11 to 18. And I beheld another beast come up out of the earth, having a horn like a lamb, and spake like a dragon. Now notice in here that the beast over here came up out of the waters. That's typical of back in Daniel. But over here he comes up out of the land, which is showing you very few people. Now what great nation at the end is here, closely allied to Europe, because it would have to be to Rome, the whole bunch, because it would have to have the people of Europe in it in majority. And there are very few people in the beginning. That's United States of America. And the beast comes up, and he has two horns like a lamb, but speaks like a dragon. That's America. Civil, ecclesiastical horns. He exercised all the power of the first beast before him, caused the earth and them that dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. And he doeth great wonders, and he makes fire come down from heaven on earth in the sight of men. Now, what was that? The atomic bomb. True. America made the atomic bomb. Now it says, he maketh fire come down. That's where it came, right from the heavens, of course. And deceiveth them that dwell on earth by means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying that dwell on the earth, that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. Now let's take a picture here. You're going to notice this is mentioned twice, not just once, that a wounded beast. Now let's face it. Who came to the rescue of Rome? When Hitler could have walked in, and after Hitler, Stalin. America. American money saved Europe for the Roman Catholic, or the Catholics, but he gave Asia into the hands of the communists. Under Roosevelt, and then under Truman, and the great arch enemy, what's his name again now? Harry Dexter White, one of them. The other guy's got the booze and pal there. Refused to give the gold the American government allotted. I said, you refused to give the money, the gold. And Vinegar Joe Stilwell, the then commanding general, said, I signed away with one stroke of my pen. He didn't use the word allegiance. But anyway, he actually signed away the army of Chiang Kai-shek. And from that time on, the communists had taken control. Remember, Brother Brown's vision was the kings of the north was communism. It would be my thinking the kings of the East then, the way it's going, would well also be communistic in some type of alliance there. So, what did America do? America, by creating the World Council of Churches with the American Council of Churches, and American money, American know-how, has saved for the very end time the Roman Empire. Now, let's take a look at it. What will Rome do in order to honor America? Just as King Nebuchadnezzar, see what we're looking at now. He made an image because of Daniel. Daniel had certain keys. Daniel was a great man, did a great thing. We're going to put an image to him. We're going to worship. And he will be a regular pope because here we have a vicar of Christ. He stands in the place of Almighty God. Now the pope has always said, I am the vicar. I'm in the stead of Jesus Christ. Now what is he going to do at the end time here in America? From this scripture, he will positively allow America to have a pope. That's right. America will have a pope because it says he comes out of here. Now, whether he is the Antichrist himself, I am not prepared to say. But if he is not the Antichrist, he will certainly be a forerunner. Because it tells you right here it's going to happen. Another beast comes up where there are no vast people. Now, what can he come up out of? He has got to come up out of what was the Fourth Empire, right? What did they come over here for? To get away from the Fourth Empire. But they can't do it because they are the Fourth Empire. They're in it. Now we come right to the end time here. America, there's great signs and great power and wonder. We'll be honored because it's the Americans, it's the Protestants that are going back to Catholicism. The Pope stood still
He never said we're going to bow and come to you, nor has he ever come to them. It has been the Anglican head of the church that went to Rome recently. And he said, I will hand over my headship to the Pope because he has precedence by being ahead of me. Right. But where did the Pope go? To one meeting. He went either to Zurich or was it Geneva? He went to Geneva. To the World Council of Union members. And he addressed them. Looking for union. What are the Protestants doing? They're all coming back and going to Rome. All coming back and going to Rome. And one day when they all get together, which they will, and they're all but there now, because Rome has changed drastically. See? We come together with the people. They will have, very shortly, a pope rise up out of America who could well be the Antichrist. I don't know that he is, but he sure will forerun it. And Brother Branham, getting it right from this chapter here, said, you watch when that pope comes out of America. A certain brother prophesied not long ago, and near Montreal, brother out of New York. He made a very great boo-boo, of course, because he prophesied a pope coming to America, and the pope didn't come. Now, we don't care 2 cents about the newspaper telling pope coming to America, but the prophet said, watch when he comes out. It's a big difference, you know. Anybody can talk, but the thing is, better go to your scripture. Now, Brother Browning said, in 1955 or 6, he said, you watch when he comes out of America, and you can see right here from this scripture, he is either the Antichrist, or he will certainly fall running. Now we're going to keep reading here. He said they had, verse 15, power to give life to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak, and cause an enemy who would not worship the image of the beast to be killed. Now what's an image? It's something that looks exactly like it. And denomination with its head is exactly like it. And America, way, way back, when Kenny Goff was still living, the ex-communist, who knew more of what's going on than most people ever thought was going on, he had the secret documents were already lined up where anybody outside the World Council would not be allowed to give aid or comfort to any prisoner under sentence of death. And the Brother Branham correctly quoted, said, what will happen if that man is caught? They said, we will kill him. That's right. Religion is going to be so tied up again, you can be killed for having something opposite of what it says here. Outside of that image, outside of the organization, the mark in your hand to do the will, the mark in the forehead to believe the will, you will end up dying, but that not necessarily kill you. That just, isn't it too bad he killed himself? Why? What do you mean? Well, he could have given him all this good food, but he wouldn't eat it. Well, what do you mean? Would he something wrong in your mouth? No. He wouldn't come into us and join us. That's what it is, see? He causes all, both small, great and rich, poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or their forehead. And no man might buy or sell, save he's had the mark of the name of the beast, or the number of his name. What's the number of the name? 666. You show me one person outside the Pope who's got 666 in his hand. It's the number of the name. See? Now, this is the very same thing you find in 2 Thessalonians, the 2nd chapter 3 and 4. I wish the old-timer Phillips book was still in the market. Called the Black Pope. Be sure anything. I don't think anybody's got it now. It's like nobody's got one anymore. Listen. 3 and 4, 2 Thessalonians 2. Let no man deceive any means. For that day shall not come, except to come a falling away first. The man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself by all is called God, for that's worship, so that he, as God, sits in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Now you tell me, when did he get mad at Jesus? When he forgave sin. And they said, ha ha. He made himself God. Who forgives sin? Pope. Roman Catholic Church. See? Now, on Look Away to Jesus, Brother Branham, I'll just read this part when we go. There is coming a time in this nation to where this nation is going to exercise all the power that the beast had before. Now, Revelation 13 is America, which it is. It's going to do it. Don't think it won't. Which was pagan Rome, when it became papal Rome. And this nation will do that. Revelation 13 plainly explains it. The land came up out of the earth. The other beast came up out of water. Thickness and multitudes of people. This land came up where there are no people. That's right. A lamb represents religion. The lamb of God. And remember, the lamb spoke like a lamb. It was a lamb. Then after a while, it received power, spoke like a dragon, and exercised all the power the dragon had before him, and the dragon is Rome always. Let me tell you something right now. I never had much to do with Catholicism, but a lot with Protestantism.
And I have found Protestantism just as tough or tougher than Catholicism until I'm ready to listen to Mama more than her daughters and take a chance on the old girl in the Protestants. Yeah. They've done everything and are doing everything identical to what they came out of. Because the seed is there, and they'll do worse because they are making the enemy. Not Rome. Let's get this straight. It is not Rome doing it. It is America's done it. With all the denominations are coming together. And in Canada, as I've said to you many times here, man, you beat the state seat. When I was a little tiny gaffer, they got the Methodist United and the Presbyterians together and united, and out of them came the CCF. And this is a stronger Catholic nation than America. Well, you always were a Catholic nation. The United States only became Catholic a few years ago when 51% of the population are designated Roman Catholics or some type of Catholic. For the first time. So you should know what I'm talking about. So don't you see Roman denomination, a marked Protestant denomination, an image under the beast, making a power that'll force all Protestants like a union. And it will. It's doing it. Carson Blake said many years ago, the church can, must, and will control the finances of the world. They will. What happened in the United States many years ago when Teddy Kennedy was really blowing and snuffing real hard about the commies and putting on a big front? And so where did he go first of all? He went to the universities and he began, you know, like trying a little witch hunt or something and trying to mark the commies. And he got away with it. But when he said, now, he said, we're going to take a crack at the pulpit. Carson Blake and his gang came and said, they're very nice, Mr. President, Mr. Attorney General, good news to you all. You investigate the pulpit. And we'll boycott every senator and congressman. Good day, sir. Last word said. The church has got power. The same power lies in Rome. It controls the hearts and minds and people. when it's exerted. And it certainly is exerted. Now, I was reading down here somewhere. You will have to be in this council of churches or you won't be able to have fellowship. Well, it's packed that way now. You can't go to a church and preach unless you have fellowship card or some identification. Well, we know all about that. From now and now on, persons like ourselves are going to be cut out of that altogether. That is exactly. Because he won't be able to do it. It is tightening. And when that time comes, and the press comes to a place where you're pressed out, then watch. That's what I'm fixing to tell you. Watch the third pull then. It's absolutely the total loss, but it'll be for the bride and the church. So you see, there's right down there by a man who has vindicated the prophet, absolutely tells us what's ahead of us. Now, let's go back to Daniel 8. Verses 15 to 26. And nothing against the Roman Catholic people in the church, it's against the churches. As I say, and I'm much against the Protestant churches in the sense of their hierarchy, as I am against any other, because it's all the same mess. People can say what they want, but it's a pot calling the kettle black. They've got to get it. See, that's where the scriptures come out of her, my people. Out of what? This system. You see? If you're in there, get out. 15 to 26, all right. And it came to pass at verse chapter 8. And it came to pass when I, Daniel, had seen the vision and sought for the meaning. Then behold, there stood before me a man, appearance of man. And I heard a voice between the banks of the Euli, which called and said, Gabriel, make this man understand the vision. So he came near where I stood, and when he came, I was afraid and fell upon my face. But he said to me, O understand, O son of man, for the time of the end should be the vision. Not right now, but later on. Now, as he was speaking with me, I was in deep sleep on my face toward the ground, but he touched me and set me upright. And he said, behold, I'll make thee know what shall be in the last end of the indignation, for the time appointed for at the time appointed the end shall be. In other words, this is for the end time. The ram which thou sawest having two horns are the kings of Mede and Persia. The rough goat is the king of Grecia. The great horn is between his eyes is the first king. Now that being broken whereas four stood up for it, four kingdoms shall stand up out of the nation, but not in his power. See, he's telling you how these kingdoms will go down through the ages. Hadn't even happened yet. That's why he could say, I'm calling my shepherd Cyrus, and Cyrus was born 400 years later. That's the book of Isaiah. And the latter time of their kingdom, when the transgressors come to full, the king of fierce countenance and understanding dark sense shall stand up. And his power shall be mighty, but not of his own power, to destroy wonderfully, and shall prosper in practice, and shall destroy the mighty and the holy people. And through his policy shall he cause craft to prosper in his hand, and magnify himself in his heart, and by peace shall destroy many, and he shall also stand up against the prince of princes, and but he shall be broken without hand. And the vision of the evening and the morning which was told is true. Therefore shut up the vision, for it shall be for many days. Now he tells you right here what's going to happen at the end. On the confrontation of Antichrist at the end time is a long, long, long way off. And remember, Israel becomes deeply involved at the time of the Antichrist, but not before. She becomes a nation just before that time. Now notice, in each case, the entire kingdom is reduced to a man
or embodied in a man, or personalized in a man, spiritual dictator at the end time with full force of a world empire. Daniel 2 and 38, we saw that back here. Thou art that head of gold. You symbolize the empire. End time, the Antichrist does the same thing. Let's go back to Revelation 13 and 2 and see the same thing there. He said, here I saw this one, I saw the sand of the sea and the beast stood up. And the beast that I saw was like a leopard, feet like a bear, mouth of a lion, and the dragon gave me power and seat and great authority. See, there he is right there. Symbol is personified in the man, heads up in one man. Now, we'll just get a little insight into further here by going back to Daniel 2, 40 and 43. Now, I hope you just caught my point there, showing you how you can talk of a man. You can talk about Rome, signifies the whole thing. Talk about Antichrist, signifies the whole thing. Talk about Nebuchadnezzar, signifies the whole thing. Now, Daniel 2, 40 to 43. In the fourth kingdom that you saw was strong as iron. And then go down here in verse 41. The feet and toes, part of potter's clay, part of iron. Kingdom shall be divided. It shall be as strong as iron, for as much as iron. It'll not be as strong as iron, but it'll have some strength of iron in it, because it's mixed with miry clay. And the toes are part clay and part of iron, and so on. And then it says here, it's a different thing. It's a different kind of an empire. Now listen, there are two legs to the Roman Empire, everybody knows it. The Eastern and the Western. That became also Eastern Greek Orthodox, Catholic, and then there was also the Western. And we know today that communism is nothing but Greek Orthodoxy, Catholicism gone to seed, because of the corrupt priesthood. And hardly 4% are unbelievers or atheists. So therefore they are still Orthodox Roman. Rome has her tentacles there. And already with dialogue with Moscow, when the pressure's on, and Moscow cannot succeed without the world systems. Now, it's a known fact, and anybody admits it, that without the United States, her foes and her friends cannot exist. Now, I know it might be quite a blow to your pride, but if the United States pulled out of here with all her industries, where would you be? It's just, you might as well admit it. God has set America up, and there's nothing you and I can do about it. It's in the driver's seat. And her foes cannot do without her. What I've been preaching for years, finally, one of the brains of the world, we call them that, the journalists, you know, the all-seeing eye of the universe, they think they are anyway, have finally written an editorial. Isn't it strange that America, who controls the bread bins of the world and could also control the rest of the bread bins, has not said to communism, you will die in your tracks because we're not giving any more food. Will we give them all the food they want, give them all the credit they want, and they're living. See? Very peculiar situation. The communists are living because of us. They're sending the wheat, the money, the brains, industrial equipment over there. They know they have to play ball with us before they can finally destroy us, which they will. Like Adenauer said, it's a foolish cat that picks its own butcher, and it's stupid people that fatten the cobra so they can bite harder and deeper. This time, get your head off. That is just a little finger. We've done it because they've been raised up a god, as Nebuchadnezzar came against Israel for what they did. So America has sinned grossly and deeply, and they're going to get paid for what they've done. Because this nation will put the whole North American continent, has been blessed as no people on earth has ever been blessed. Had the chance to serve God and turn down flat. Have despoiled the land in such rapid rapidity as to stagger your imagination. Where are those lakes that were pure and clean when I was a kid? And quite a bit more than a kid, too, let's face it. Only the last 30 years. That it's really gone down, destruction, see, and God's got to destroy the earth. So you see a situation here. There's no use saying, well, this is communism. It's not. It is Catholicism, because communism is not religion, it is anti-religion. And the word anti does not mean against, it means instead of. Antichrist is not against, it is instead of. Now, who is instead of God? The Pope and the Romish Church. And the Protestants have done the same thing identical. They come right together again. It's all being worked out perfectly. So you got America is in the western side, the eastern side, it's all part. But notice this part. Miry clay and iron do not mix. Certainly it doesn't need you. It doesn't work upon armies. It works upon detente, entente, some kind of liaison. Religion permeating the whole thing. It doesn't matter. The whole spirit's there. You can be a rough and tumble nation. You can be more or less democratic. You can be dictatorial. The whole thing runs through there. They are governing. They are controlling. And when the world finances bust and Rome takes over, there'll be nothing anybody can do but join. I don't care what the commies say. Matters not to me. They'll be forced to it. I remember back in the 30s when communism was just beginning to perk up and go places. Oh, they sneered. And they said, what do you Americans want gold? We'll send you gold. Sure they did. They send gold. You get our merchandise. How come you couldn't get our own merchandise? And a few years ago, what was it? 200 tons of gold or something they released in Europe to buy the wheat. Yeah, they can't do that. There's no nation survives alone now. It's everything going into one big pot, one world affair, and the church is behind it. It'll be done with the money that Rome has. Too bad America let the gold go. They had all the gold after the Second World War. And Mr. Roosevelt foolishly pegged it at $39 an ounce or so because the economist was blind, sick, and something else. They let the gold all go. If America had kept that gold and raised the price to $20 an ounce, she could have blessed the whole world with the blessing of God. But she let it go to the devil. Brother Sid, let me tell you, don't have any faith in anything anymore because the silver and the gold is corrupted. They will never work. You better trust God. Don't trust that buck. Live in your houses, enjoy them. You don't own them anyway. You say, my mortgage is paid off. I don't care what it is. There's a government that collects taxes. And they'll take your house in 15 minutes. You haven't got that plug nickel to pay your taxes. Better wake up. Get close to God. Because who knows when that squeeze comes down. We'll be here for part of it. There's not a doubt of it. Now, here we are. Now then, that is the history by revelation of God dealing with Israel at that time and showing how she's left out of the picture and what nations, what governments are going on until Israel comes back for 3.5 years. That's the picture right there, see, for the 3.5 years. Now, what was Israel history during the 3.5 years, before the 3.5 years, or the times of the Gentiles were going on? That means, since the time of Titus until now, what is her history? Her history is Romans 11, chapter verses 11, 13 to 36. Now, for I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of Gentiles, and magnify my knowledge. If any means I may provoke to emulation them which are in my flesh, and might save some of them, that is Israel. For if the casting away of Israel be the reconciling the world, what should be the receiving of them the life from the dead? Now remember, Israel is blinded, not dead. So this means when the resurrection, when Israel goes back to Palestine, and God begins to look down upon them, there has got to be a resurrection from the dead. Any time now there can be a resurrection. For if the first fruit be holy, the lump is also holy, the root is also holy, so are the branches. Now, I like what he says there. Now, don't try to fuss about it, just believe it. Now, if some of the branches were broken off, and thou being a wild olive tree, graft in among them, and partakers of the root and fatness of the olive tree. Post not against the branches. Say, what about Israel? Those crazy bunch of Jews. They ain't nothing to know how. Well, you watch now, listen. But if thou boast, thou bearest not the root of the root thee. Thou wilt say then, the branch is broken off, thou may be grafted in. Well, because of unbelief they're broken off, and thou standest by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear. For if God spare not the natural branches, take heed lest ye spare not thee also. Behold therefore the goodness and severity of God, on them which fell severity, but toward thee goodness, if thou continue goodness, otherwise thou shalt be cut off. And they also, if they abide not, are still in unbelief, shall be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in. For if thou were cut of the olive tree which is wild by nature, and grafted in contrary to nature and a good olive tree, how much more shall these, which be the natural, be grafted in their own olive tree? For I would not have you ignorant of this mystery, lest you be wise in your own conceit. Blindness, not death. They're not dead, they're blind. It happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles becoming willfully blinded by God as the Gentile blinded them. Listen. And so all Israel shall be saved. Not one elect Israelite will go to the lake of fire and suffer loss. Not one. For at the white throne judgment, they'll come up and be judged as blinded under the fifth seal. Why? Because there was a deliverer who turned away sin. And though they didn't know him, the blood still stands there. And by grace, there'll not be one. For this is my covenant unto them. I shall take away their sins. Yes, sir. As concerning the gospel, their enemies for your sake, when touching election, they are beloved for the Father's sake. God loves them, and there won't be one of those elected will miss out.
They will not be in the brine, but they'll come up to bring their glory into the holy city. But under the fifth seal, every single elected one will come in. Now, where are we in that period? We look from way back there. Gentile, run through four great empires, 3.5 years to go. Now, what are we in the period that we're looking at this now? Where do we stand in relationship to the 3.5 years that Israel is going to start into? Well, let's just bring it up. Just take a look at it. Go back to Matthew 23, 37 to 39. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stones and sent thee, how often I gather thy children together, as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate, for I say unto you, shall not see me henceforth, till you shall say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Now that's going to take something to make him say that. You know who's going to do it? The spirit of Elijah and Moses and the two witnesses preaching the gospel is going to make them say. Going to do it. I know right now they're groaning and they're crying for Messiah. But they're going to have, there's something coming greater than just that because God's going to say. Now Matthew 24, 1 to 2. Jesus went out and departed the temple. Disciples came to him for a show of building the temple. And Jesus said, see ye not all these things that I send you? Not one stone left upon another. They shall not be thrown down. That's going to happen. The temple's going to be destroyed. And Israel's going to be scattered. All right? Luke 21, which you read, same idea. Just recapitulating a bit. 20 to 24. Now, we see Jerusalem comes with armies. Know the desolation of his nigh. Now listen, don't let him that's in Judea, go further or go to the mountain. And him in the midst of it, get out of the country entirely. Get away. See? These be the days of vengeance, that what I told you is going to be fulfilled. And here's the sign. When you see Jerusalem compassed with armies, 70 A.D. Titus. He said, in the mountains, he said, go further. In the city, go further. So get out of the city, get away from it entirely. Because he said, this is when Israel is going to fall and be carried away into all nations and trodden down to the times of the Gentiles. Now, let's go to Acts 13, 44 to 48. Here's where God turns from them. Blindness sets in. The next Sabbath day came the whole city together to hear the word of God. The Jews saw the multitude, filled with envy, spake against those things spoken by Paul, contradicting, blaspheming. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it's necessary the word of God should first be preached to you, but seeing you put it from you, and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, we turn to the Gentiles. For so hath the Lord commanded, saying, I have set thee to be a light to the Gentiles, that thou should be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as were ordained unto eternal life amongst the Gentiles believed. And the word of the Lord went to the Gentiles. God turned from the Gentiles. Let's find out about it. Deuteronomy chapter 28. Way back to the last book of Moses. 62-68. And it shall come to pass that as the Lord rejoiced over you to do you good, to multiply you, so the Lord will rejoice over you to destroy you, to bring you to nothing. And you shall be plucked from the land, whither thou goest to possess it. The Lord shall scatter thee among all people, from one end of the earth unto the other, and thou shalt serve other gods, which thou need to have thy father hath known, even wood and stone. And among these nations thou shalt find no ease, neither shalt the sole of thy foot have rest, but the Lord shall give thee there a trembling heart, and a failing of the eye, and a sore of mind. And thy life shall hang in the doubt before thee, and thou shalt fear day and night, and shalt have none assurance of life. That's what they've gone through for all these years. And the morning thou shalt say, would God were even, and even thou shalt say, would God were morning, for the fear of thine eye, of thine heart rather, wherewith thou shalt fear, and the sight of thine eyes, which thou shalt see. And the Lord shall bring thee into Egypt again with ships, by the way thereof which I have taken of thee, thou shalt see it no more again, and there you'll be sold unto your enemies, for bondmen and bondwomen, and no man shall buy you. In other words, they tell them. But what does he say in Jeremiah 31:10? Let's go back and look at it. Now, that's what he said was going to happen. Now let's see what else he said. Because you see, Paul said something. Taken out, drafted back in. Okay, Jeremiah 31. And I said verse 10 right. So let's read it. Hear the word of the Lord, O ye nations, and declare it to the isles afar off. And say, he that scattered Israel will gather him and keep him as a shepherd doth his flock. There you are. Israel has got to come back. Pardon me, which it does. Now, listen. Israel is back in the homeland after 1900 years, and it's his own nation after 26 to 2700 years. It is therefore time for Revelation 10 and 7.
Because it says right here, in the days of the voice, the seventh message shall begin to sound, the mysteries of God should be finished, as God had declared the good news of his gospel by his servants, the prophets. The gospel has to wind up. That means the times of the Gentiles got to be entirely finished. The mystery of Israel must be completed. They've got to be turned back to God. Zechariah 12 chapter must be completely fulfilled. I must won't take time to read it yourself. And placing us into the millennium. Now, where then does this place us in the plan of the ages? We've seen the ages in the thumbnail sketch. Tried to show what's going on. What will take place at the end time. Where are we in the plan of the ages? We are right here in the hour of the resurrection waiting for our change. Because Israel is back in the homeland. And what shall be the receiving of her but life from the dead? Israel's not dead. No, sir, they're blind. Blind men aren't dead. So it's resurrection time. We are right here, moments from the last half of the 70th week. We are as a virgin bride amongst harlots, eagles amongst all filthy birds, true branches amongst the grafted in branches, waiting for the Lord to descend with the voice of the trumpet to carry us to the wedding supper. Already we have heard the shout and have been summoned to the supper, putting on wedding garments. We have disassociated ourselves from Babylon and cosmos. We have had our old marriage dissolved by death from creeds and dogmas, and now stand united with the sinless Son of God who is the Word. As the souls of men and women cleave together, our souls are joined to His soul now. We are under the seventh seal of Revelation 10:1-7. Truly, and you know what that is? I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, a rainbow upon his head, his face were the sun, feet as pillars of fire. That mighty one came down, they saw him on the Ohio River. He was seen by thousands of people. The voice that said to the prophet, as John the Baptist foreran the first coming, so your message foreruns the second. People, of course, don't agree with that, but he is vindicated. He had thus said the Lord, and God answered back to him. What God would answer back to a man and be God, the God we know, if he was a deceiver? Truth, he can't do that. He had in his hand a little book open. He said his right foot upon sea, left foot upon the earth. Cried the loud voice and the lion roars. Didn't say lion was roaring, as when he roars. When he cried the voice, where were the seven thunders? Not in heaven now, but on earth. All right, seven times his voice, that's about you right, and heard a voice say, seal up those things seven times, and write them not. Then the angel stood upon this land and sea, raised his hand and swore to heaven, that time should be no more, and so on. But in the days of the voice of the seven messenger, when he began to sound, the mystery of God is finished, as God had declared the good news, the gospel by his servants the prophet. Now it says the mystery of the gospel is wound up. Now just hold our finger there and go back to Revelation 22 and verse 10. And he said, seal not the sayings of the prophets of this book for the times at hand. Just before Jesus comes, the book that was sealed must be unsealed and cannot be further sealed. See? That's when he that filthy is filthy, sees righteous filth, and you cannot add or take from the book because the book is finished. We are in that period now. Now, let's just remember here, I looked at this here. And the angels I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth with his hand to heaven, and so he's going to live forever there. They created heaven, things are in the earth, things are in the sea, and so on. The time should be no longer. Okay? And in the days of the voice of the seventh messenger, when they begin to sound, mystery of God's finished, as God said, by his servants, the prophets. Let's go to Daniel 12 and verse 7. We'll take a look at it. All right. And I heard the man clothed in linen, which was upon the Waters River, which held up his right hand and left hand unto heaven, and so he'll live forever. The time should be that it should be for a time, times and a half. When he shall have accomplished the scattered the power of the holy people, all these things should be finished. In other words, it's all over. 3.5 years ago. Now, in the book of Revelation, it says the same thing. Just before the 3.5 years, of course, it doesn't mean instantaneously, but just between that period of time, there's got to be one who is able, comes down, the one who opens the book, declaring the seals, placing it. He's got to, in other words, what Daniel did here by sealing up, there has got to be a prophet come and take over to unseal in order to bring in the last 3.5 years. Because that's what a seal is. Now, at the end time, someone will come. At that time, the pillar of fire descends. See? What's the pillar of fire do? As in Moses' day, spake verbally. As in Paul's day, spake verbally, lift to ear. Same thing appears at the end time. A vindicated prophet. Have to be vindicated, otherwise how could you have him? It's got to take place at the end time. We believe by faith, by the vindication which we have seen, it's in my heart, I think most of the hearts here believe, has been vindicated. It's sufficient enough for me to believe that we had an end time prophet
who is able to do these things, open the book to us. Now, let's compare Revelation 22 and 10, which I just read a minute ago here. Keep your finger back there in Daniel. And it says here, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of the book, for the time is at hand. Go back to Daniel 12 and 9. And he said, go that way, Daniel, for the words are closed up, and seal to the time of the end. And that's what it says. Seal it there. It said, don't seal it here. Therefore, what was sealed up back here in Revelation 10 and 4 is unsealed before the end time. It's got to be. See? Now, what is the sealing to? It's the sealing to the 3 1/2 years. Because soon as that's open, the 3 1/2 years, it's all finished. So, there would be then, evidently, a prophet stand upon the ear lamb who'd have it. Now listen, what's it say about the end time? Many shall be purified, made white and tried, the wicked do wickedly, none of the wicked understand, but the wise understand. What's it say over here? Revelation 22, 11 to 15. He that's unjust still, filthy, filthy still, righteous still. What's it say? Wicked still? White still? Sure. At the end time, you got the same thing. Now, listen. Daniel is loved. Why? Because one king had a dream and forgot, right? Beautiful. And Daniel said, I have got the Spirit of God. I'll tell you a dream, O king. Have no problem. God gave you that dream. I'll tell you what it is. He said, wonderful. That's the dream. Now, tell me what it is. Well, he said, certainly I can tell you what it is. And the king said, I know you can tell me. No problem there, because you told me what I forgot. Any man that can recall a dream can tell what it means. We had a man that doesn't do that. But better than that, we had a man, according to Deuteronomy 18, who had thus saith the Lord, and it never failed. You say, Brother Bale, you can believe him. Thank you. Very gracious of you. I do. But I invite you to believe him too. If you don't, it's all right. Don't try to force anybody. It's up to you and I. But I say, what are you looking for? What are you looking for? What would you ask for a sign? At the end time. We're at the end time. Let's face it. Israel's back in the homeland. We're not guessing any longer. And remember, the scripture says Israel is going to be a thorn in the eye of every nation. And you show me, nation, that Israel's not a thorn in right now. If we could get rid of Israel for our own good, humanly speaking, we're in better shape than we are right now. Because that's where all the trouble is. H.G. Wells, that miserable so-called great historian, he might have been a great historian, but he's miserable. I say that with contempt. I'm not fooling. He said many, many years ago, in Palestine, nothing ever happened. It is of no consequence, and nothing will ever happen. I wish he could resurrect right today and see what a fool he was. Yeah. This history doesn't mean a thing. History's all but over. We're at the edge of the 3 1/2 years. See? Because that prophet appeared according to the word of God. And once he appears and restores the word, there can be nothing but destruction. And when that sixth seal opens, which belongs to Israel 3 1/2 years under the 2 witnesses of prophecy and plague, it'll go right on hammer, choke till Armageddon. And the earth is cleansed and the bride comes down. 1,000-year peace. Then chaos again with the second resurrection. Satan trying to take over. We can never do it. And a bride lifted up to the very throne of God till the earth is completely renovated. And a bride come down for eternity. Brother said, let me tell you something. You might not know this, but you ought to know. We're in it now, not tomorrow. While men are looking down that road looking for some great thing, let me tell you now, you're either in it now or you're missing it. Because that stone made of the hand has started to descend, and it will break and destroy everything that is against the word of Almighty God. Amen. Not because I say so. I have nothing to do with it. But let's go back in the Bible. In fact, what are the way it could have come? What has already come. See, that's what it is. Now, the Gentile days are numbered. The great tribulation ready to set in. True. Now, why have I brought this message? I bring it, of course, for a certain type of people that believe this type of message, which we're all in together. The majority, I suppose, here. For one reason, Brother Branham said, you will never understand the seals until you understand Daniel's 70 weeks in our kingdom. There had to be an opening of that which was sealed. What was sealed? The times of the Gentiles to the 3 1/2 years. Now, our history's over. The Gentiles are winding up. There's not much left. I don't know how long. Months? Could do it months. Any 60 to 90 days, I believe, could put us in a resurrection. Sure. You say, why? Well, I lived in 1929 when the bottom fell out of the market. Overnight. They jumped out of windows in New York like hailstones coming out of heaven. It was risky to walk in the street. Someone would land on you and kill you. Not just the guy jumping, the fellow that he jumped on. Falling down. What if the market broke tomorrow? Who knows what tomorrow can bring? Nations fall overnight. We don't have to wait years. They fall overnight. They're gone. Dictators arrive. See? Who knows what it'll take? Tomorrow's dawning may be the dawn of a criminal day. A sorrow and tragedy. A pressure. See? Oh, we're happy tonight. Very happy. Lots of money, lots of food, lots of everything. What if the sudden he's gone? You think people stand still for 1 minute when the food goes down in America? They'll take it over. America, nobody in Canada, United States, will stand still to see food stored up and then not get it. Huh? The churches will not stand still. They'll unionize overnight. I don't know. It won't take long. But right here at the very end, and you can see history has been fulfilled. And I'm looking myself. I don't know what's going to happen this Pope on the throne now. He's trying to promote somebody else. But for over the period of years, they've been telling him for years now, an American in the Pope's bodyguard to be the next Pope. This Pope is not infallible that college of cardinals cannot override him. They're the ones that have the vote. What if that next Pope comes out of America? I don't see he will. What if he wouldn't? And you're right in Revelation 13, what is it, chapter, verse 10? What if he should be the Antichrist? What if he would be? I don't say his, but he sure looks like it, having read the book. See? Now then, what's the next step? Well, got to be a squeeze. How long would that be? Not very long. When could that take place? 60 to 90 days. Could there be a rapture in 1977? Sure. I don't say there will be. But could be. So you see, brother, sister, history has run out. Literally. We're in the last throes of history to know. The next thing, the earth's got to be purified. So that God can have that day he lost. Because he never got his day. But this time together. So I trust you understand now. Daniel's 70 weeks. Period of history is we're interjected, but now we're at the end. And that's all summed up. The Lord bless you, shall we rise at this time. Our dear Lord, we praise and thank you for your love to us. Your mercy, Lord, which you've extended. Some might not think it's mercy to be in the end time when these things come upon the earth. Diabolical cunning, pressure, a repeat of all diabolical cunning, as the prophet told us. Vindication, but Lord, it is a great time. Because you put us here for it, and so we thank you in your wisdom that you reserved us this hour. And I pray, Lord, that will not one fail it in any way that you have set us here to minister or be manifested as your children. No way, Lord God, to miss that which is ahead of us, which is glory. And to surely miss what also is ahead, which is the great tribulation, because we know, as you said, come out of her, that you do not partake of her plague, which is the great tribulation. Lord, we have come out of her, we know that, because we have nothing to do with it whatsoever. And we believe, Lord, at this time, though we cannot tell exactly how we perform when the press is down, that we do believe, my God, that we are out of her and can have no place in her. Either means death some way. Father, it's a rough thing to say because we don't know what will come. We don't just know how we would be, but by grace, we believe, Lord, that your grace is sufficient. What you did for Daniel in that day, Lord, what you did for three Hebrew children wouldn't bow, you can do the same for us. You can take us out, O God. I believe your hand is with us. So, Father, we praise you that you've made known that this is that day. The Spirit of God has come amongst us in order to reveal the hour in which we live and to show the deep secret things of Almighty God which were sealed up. And here we are, Lord, not there in anybody else, no, not for 1 minute, but only, Lord, because of thee do we know these things, for you send a prophet in our midst. And we thank you, Lord, that he was just merely your servant, not somebody great that we look to in a way that other men might look to, great religious leaders, but we look to him, Lord, only as a voice, as a mouthpiece, as one that you use, and we thank you for him. And we pray, Lord, that the word that came from him
which we stand upon tonight might be lived in our lives and then manifested, O God, as time goes on, until we could be part of those who are just and white and holy and ready to go in the rapture. For, Lord, we know of ourselves we have nothing, never will be anything, but because of Thee, Lord, and all things in Thee, we can look to You for this also. So, Father, bless Your people today. May they have strength, may they have great courage, determination of God in law to serve You, better than ever, day by day, until we meet at Jesus' feet. Father, the King eternally more than this one, the only wise God, be all honor and power and glory through Jesus Christ the Lord. Amen. The Lord bless you, brother.